The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So there's a... I heard once an account of farmers in places like Greece who were olive farmers. And olive trees take about 20 years before they become big enough to bear fruit. So the people who are going to be olive farmers, they have to plan 20 years in advance for the crop that's going to be harvested much later. And the story is that when olive farmers get old, 70 years old, 80 years old, they're still planting olive trees that are not going to bear fruit in their lifetime. But they're planting it for what's going to come. So today and last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, whenever it was, I was here last week, some of you were here, so there was a five-year-old girl here. She looks like she's five. And she sits at least as quietly as all of you. At least. It's quite remarkable to see her sitting there next to her dad. What?
She was here today also.
Yeah, she was here today, right. She was here. And so your being here today was maybe planting a seed for something to happen in 20 years. Who knows what she remembers, what this does for her. What are you nurturing and supporting just being here? And also the whole story about the golden Buddha that I told earlier, you know, was trying to figure out something to teach that would work for her as well. And I don't know if she'll remember the story, but maybe that's planting a seed that'll bear fruit in 20, 30, 40 years. So, you know, there is a long-term perspective to have. It's very important to have. And to remember the great, the tides come and go of history over time. And that how do we participate in it in a way, and how not to get too caught up in the moment in a tradition of practice where we're dedicated to being in the moment. So how do we kind of take into account the big picture as well? When I was a graduate student in religious studies, there was a professor named Michael Sasso. He was a professor of Buddhist studies. And he was a fascinating man. He was a Jesuit priest, so he had gone through the whole Jesuit training. He'd gone to seminary in Jesuit training, I think in China or Japan or something. So he was fluent in Chinese and fluent in Japanese. And he had also been ordained as a Japanese monk of some Japanese Buddhist tradition, Tendai or Shingon, I don't remember which one it was, maybe Tendai. And so he was really deeply involved and practiced in Buddhism as well, and then become a professor of Buddhist studies, and eventually retired from teaching and disappeared into southwestern China, where it was quite relatively poor places, and he spent his retirement time traveling between towns and villages and building schools. You know, and he would use whatever retirement money he had, and he would build a school, and then he would go on to the next town and do something like that, like Johnny Appleseed, I guess. And he loved, you know, China, and he spoke fluent Chinese, and anyway, so he was an interesting man, and so when I showed up to do the graduate program, I introduced myself to him, and I said I was a Vipassana practitioner, and he kind of brightened all up. He's like, oh. And he said, oh yeah, Vipassana. That's when your attention is 360 degrees all around. You know, that your awareness includes everything. And so we have to remember that. that our awareness of practice is meant to include everything. And so one of the things it includes is ourselves. And for some people, the challenge is to learn how to include everything in oneself. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The whole show of what's here. To include our suffering, to include our joy, to include our disappointments, our fear, our discouragement, to include how it is here. And the 360 degrees of Vipassana doesn't stop by 360 degrees to ourselves, but it also includes 360 degrees to the world around us. And so to be able to be a witness to the world and take it all in, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and to see it clearly and to hold it in our attention. And to learn in that 360 degree awareness to be like a lighthouse, perhaps. Or that lighthouse, these lighthouses that I see are pretty stable. They're solid, they don't move around, they don't get, you know, the storms are coming up on the coast don't, you know, they don't look discouraged or they don't look afraid. They're just standing there tall. But they're able to shine their light in a balanced way, do their job. So our ability to look 360 degrees in all directions, inside and outside, comes with the ability, hopefully with the development, cultivation, of a stability, a confidence in the value of staying aware, staying mindful, staying attentive, seeing what's here. And it's one of the gifts, I think, if we can give to the world, is the ability to stay present and be a witness in all directions with balance, with stability, without collapsing, without getting swept up in the tides of fear and discouragement and all those things that will come. Tides come and go, and we can't stop the tides, but we can keep the lighthouse on. We can keep the awareness on and take refuge in the lighthouse, take refuge in the ability to see what's going on and have confidence in that. And not to lose the confidence because the storms are particularly big or strong. And I think that what's happening in the world right now, in America right now, is that we have a great need for this 360 degree awareness where we attend mindfully, carefully, compassionately with what's within us, make space for it and sit with whatever's going on. But it may be even more important that we also learn to take our attention 360 degrees around so we can be a witness to what's going on in our society. And a witness means that willing to understand the suffering that's in our society and the huge upheaval or change that's going on right now in America represents a tremendous amount of individual suffering. That the level of, that the change that's represented with this new president that we're going to have represents a tremendous amount of people who are suffering, who are in pain. And as they say in the news, they say a lot of people feel forgotten and ignored, and they're reacting to that. And so if we set up a world of me versus you, us versus them, and whatever side of the political spectrum we're at, there's going to be suffering. People feel dismissed or ignored or pushed away. And the pendulum will keep swinging. But I think one of the ways of being a lighthouse for the world is lighthouse shines on everything equally, is to take an interest in bringing, being a witness, being present and seeing and understanding, not what's going on the surface, but going on, understand what's going on more deeply. And the specialty of Buddhism is to be able to look and recognize and see the underlying suffering that's there, that is really responsible for so much of the dysfunction of our society, the problems of our society, and be able to have compassion for that and care for that. And in doing that, start planting seeds that might not bear fruit in your lifetime. No amount of goodness is ever wasted. No amount of goodness is ever wasted. And so we all have infinite resources, infinite seed store of goodness within us. And if we can take those seeds and scatter them around the world, maybe we won't go from town to town and build schools, but we can maybe go from neighbor to neighbor and bring our goodness into the world and plant seeds for something important to happen. And maybe those seeds will bear fruit today, maybe they'll bear fruit in a week, maybe they'll bear fruit when this 5-year-old girl becomes 25, 55, 75, who knows, when, you know, how all this spreads and goes into our society and the world. And if there's one thing that Buddhism, one of the things that Buddhism offers in all this is the idea of refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, refuge in the practice, is that it's possible to remain confident in the midst of tremendous challenges, tremendous difficulty. It's possible to remain present, be a witness, and not be overcome and overwhelmed by what's happening around us, what's happening within us, but to stay upright like a lighthouse for this world, so our light can shine on what needs to be seen, both the good, the bad, and the ugly. I guess it doesn't make for a good rhythm or beat to say the beautiful, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I always feel this little expression is inadequate because it leaves. So 360-degree awareness, and part of the wisdom of doing it, being a practitioner, is knowing where that light needs to be shown on any given time. And today, I suspect a lot of it needs to be shined on ourselves, so we really can be present for how we feel, what's going on, our thoughts, our fears, our discouragements, sense of even betrayal that people feel, and to shine on that, but have confidence in the shining. Be confident in the power and the value of mindfulness and being present and aware. That's the home we can live in, the home of mindfulness. So with those thoughts for today, does anyone want to say anything or ask anything or anything that's on people's your mind that you'd like to say?
What this brings up in me, all of what you're saying and the events of the last 2 days, it's bringing more softness and honoring of goodwill, supremely valuing the honoring of goodwill. It's increasingly intention to find it whenever possible.
Great. Yeah. Nice. And makes me think of how a pearl is made by the sand that irritates the oyster.
Yes.
So, maybe there can be new pearls now.
Hi, I just wanted to say that talking about the lighthouse, it's interesting. I grew up on the East Coast, and so there are a lot of lighthouses there. The shape that they're built in is rounded, so that when the storms come, the water pushes, the water goes around it. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a really powerful image for me.
Nice. Nice.
And it still stands and shines.
Yeah, yeah, nice. A couple of months ago, I met someone who, her introduction to Buddhism, meditation, was, I think she was backpacking, and she met this other backpacker who had spent time at the Tassara Zen Monastery, and somehow it came up that he was going to teach her how to meditate there in the wilderness. And so his instructions for meditation was, imagine that you're a boulder sitting in a river, and everything else is just the water rushing by. That was the instructions for meditation. So it's a little bit similar to that idea. Thank you.
I spent last night, election night, with my daughter in San Francisco. And my daughter was up all night and this morning crying. And I'm aware of the tremendous grief that's around today.
Right.
And although the light image is very beautiful and I feel it in my heart, I think there's also a time when one has to sit in the darkness with the clouds and the rain and the storm.
Right. So that's the 360 degrees has to include our grief. And there are people who are mourning. So one person told me today that she feels like someone just died. So that you have to sit for that too. And if we don't sit with it, if we don't shine our light on that, then we're shortchanging ourselves and also shortchanging the world, shortchanging the pearl being made. But the art of it is to allow the grief to be there, but to stay as a lighthouse, stay firm, stay strong, stay mindful as opposed to succumbing to it, falling into it.
I've been pondering along the lines of what you said this morning and actually feeling kind of excited, which seems very strange in lots of ways. I've been fairly much, the best I can, ignoring this whole craziness that's been going on and trying to look at the big picture, the macro. And clearly what you said is true. There's a lot of people in huge amount of pain right now, and I think the pain's going to get bigger. And so the thing, may you live in interesting times. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next 4 years, and I have to hope that the pendulum is gone. Maybe it needs to go a little farther before it changes and things become better. But I try to look with some sense of optimism that whatever is happening ultimately is going to help people to gain a better perspective of what it is that needs to happen, and I haven't a clue what that.
Yeah, really. There's wisdom in what, a lot of wisdom in what you're saying. I appreciate it, and I'm a little reminded that the other date with 9/11 in it, the original 9/11, now it's 11/9, is 9/11 had a big impact on many of us, and had a big impact on me. And there's a time where it's in order I feel the bigger that impact something has on us like this, the more important it is to do more than just be mindful of it. It's important to actually have a way of responding. Plant an olive tree, do something. And we do a kind of disservice to ourselves if we don't actually step forward and respond in some way, do something. And it doesn't have to be, run for president yourself or something, But so in 9/11, the big change that that affected me, which has been an impact now for my life for the last 15 years, and it's also affected many other people's lives, is I started a training program for Buddhist chaplains. and to train people to be able to respond to the suffering of the world, to go out in places of tragedy and crisis, hospitals and prisons and other places. And I put a lot of time and effort into training people. Some of the people here have gone through that training program here today. So I felt like I had to do something. I couldn't just go back to business as usual. And I know it's too easy for us to feel tremendous overwhelm, grief, anger, sorrow, all kinds of things when something like this happens. And then after a few weeks, after a few months, it's kind of like back to normal. And I think if we do that, we do a disservice to ourselves. That hopefully we can allow these things to change us in some way. And how it changes us is very individual for each person. For some people, maybe it's just the job that you're already doing, the work, what you do in the world, you just feel like now you do it with more kindness or more dedication to support and help more other people. Maybe it's the neighbors and people around you. You're more dedicated to be of service to them. When they're sick, you go shopping for them or bring them food. Or maybe it means you get involved in an organization or a political party or do something where you actually, if we're not changed by this, and that's why the whole lighthouse analogy is limited. Because except the lighthouse, I suppose, can decide to do a better job. You know, make sure that the mirror or the glass that it's using is always stays clean and always on or something. But the whole mindfulness, to only be mindful is not enough. It's the beginning. It's the heart of it all. It's the where it all begins. It comes out of that. But also, how do you want to be changed by this? Is a question I would encourage you to carry with you over the next week or time. How do you want to be different? How do you want to change? How do you want to be affected by this so that in some way the world becomes a better place because of you? Because if it's only a matter of overwhelm, it's only a matter of anger or grief, then the world will continue the way it's always gone. And one of the things I really want to try to pass on to people is the tremendous importance and value of having confidence, and having confidence in the practice, confidence in yourself, confidence in the value of moving into the world to make a difference, as opposed to looking elsewhere and other people. They're supposed to do it. They're supposed to make things better. Someone's supposed to do it better, but but it begins with us. And this is one of the teachings of Buddhism, I think, that the world and the future, every world, every future, that always begins with us, with you. That's where it begins. And so if you want a future, if you want a future world to live in, and if it begins with you, if you're the seed, how do you want to go forward next? And it could be small ways, big ways, or something. So it's a curious time. It's an interesting time. I agree with Jeff that we don't know what's going to happen. It's possible that major upheaval, major changes are coming, and that something will arise out of the ashes, or things get shaken. Sometimes it's good to shake things up and see what goes on. So we don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's also something to keep in mind. It's pay attention. Watch what's happening. So you're prepared. Okay, so maybe that's enough. And so we won't do the cleaning of the center today, because now it's almost time to have our closing circle.